name is Ilan Jerno from the Ayn Rand Institute. I'm a writer and speaker for our journal, New Ideal, and I appear on our podcast. I'm here to offer some brief commentary on the attack by Iran on Israel that is just now unfolding. I'm speaking on April 13th in the afternoon Pacific time. Latest news is that Iran has sent drones toward Israel, and it's likely to send missiles in that direction as well. Apparently, Israeli forces are able to respond to this and knock down the drones on their way to the target zones. This is bringing back memories from when Iraq was sending Scud missiles during the first Gulf War, for those who remember. This, in many ways, is an escalation from anything we saw back then, because this is coming from Iran. And I want to focus on what that means and the significance of the developments. The backstory to this is important, and I'll unpack that a bit. Just a word about my background for this issue. I've written about the Middle East for the last 20 plus years. My books include What Justice Demands, America and the Israeli-Palestinian Conflict, which came out in 2018, which deals with the Israeli-Palestinian conflict in the wider region. Another of my books is Failing to Confront Islamic Totalitarianism, What Went Wrong After 9/11, which deals with Iran in particular and many of the ramifications of America's inability and refusal to deal with the Iranian threat. I regard Iran as the major threat in the region, and precisely because it is an ideological regime. It is driven by ideas. It is driven by the ideas of Islamic totalitarianism, and that reflects in everything that Iran's regime does. It is at war with its own people. It is at war with Israel as a free country. It is at war with the United States since 1979, when there was the first conflict between the nations, when Iran's forces took America's embassy, took over America's embassy and took hostages among the diplomats who were there. There's a long story to be told there. I've written about that at length, and I encourage you to read more about this and watch some of the episodes we've published on this channel. Today, I want to talk about why this is such a significant development. We promise to offer more commentary as developments unfold. We learn more about what's happening, and we see how this war develops in the days and weeks to come. I think the starting point here is to say something about Iran and Israel, and that there's a huge gap in America's policy in the region and people's understanding about the region in general. And we can see that both in responses to the Gaza war and more generally before that in responses to America's policy in the region. The fundamental issue, in my view, is that there's a missing understanding, missing recognition of why freedom, a society, a country built on the protection of individual rights, is such an extraordinary achievement and why it's morally good. In my view, Israel lives up to that standard significantly. And my support of Israel is grounded in secular individualist terms. I support it precisely and to the extent that it is a free society. If that changes, my view will change. And I regard Iran as not merely failing to live up to that, but as hostile to that principle. Iran is not even trying to protect individual rights. It is at war with its own people. We saw that. We've seen that for years, and most dramatically in the last couple of years with its war against women who refuse to wear the religious headscarf, the hijab. If you remember, those protests were some of the largest in Iran's history, and they reveal the nature of this regime. It is a regime that will beat up and brutalize women for refusing to bow down to religious dogma. Women who want to live their lives as they choose, and yet they are subjugated. That is a small window into Iran. I want to paint a wider canvas here, because I think that's crucial to understanding what's now unfolding in the news. So why is Iran in Syria? Why was Iran in Syria? So that is the initial trigger for the current trading of missiles, Iran firing them right now against Israel. What happened there? So earlier this month, Israel shot at an Iranian embassy compound in Syria. You might be asking, why would it have done that? I think the important thing to understand is that Iran has been operating in Syria for many years, particularly since Syria's collapse as a country at the beginning of its civil war in 2011. Iran has been reaching into Syria to try to dominate that area, to put its military emplacements there as a step towards both expanding its power in the region, which has been doing for decades, and to be better positioned to attack Israel. Iran is an imperialistic country precisely because it is driven by ideas. It is driven by the idea that Islam is the true religion, and that therefore there can be no barrier, no limits to where Islam should dominate. That is why in the 1980s, after Iran's own revolution, it went into Lebanon and it helped to create Hezbollah, which is the army of God. That is what their name means. They are a subcontractor for Iran, and Hezbollah has gone to war against Israel numerous times, firing rockets, famously in 2006 and also in 2014. Hezbollah is not exclusively Iran's force, but it is a subcontractor. And that's another example of Iran's imperialistic agenda. Many people know about the Houthis because they've been disrupting cargo trade in the Middle East. The Houthis are supported by Iran, and I think this reflects Iran's imperialism as well. And many people have heard and speculated about Iran's involvement in Hamas's attack on Israel on October 7th and since then. There's no question that Hamas is supported by Iran. It has been for decades, and so has Palestinian Islamic Jihad, which was founded with significant support from Iran. Iran is also in Iraq. It has been in there since 2003, trying to reach into the government and put its own agents in power and to influence the direction of Iraq since America's invasion in 2003. We could go on and illustrate further Iran's wide reach in the Middle East, but the point of these examples is to underscore the scale of Iran's desire and ambitions to dominate the region. Moreover, Iran views Israel as a threat, not because Israel is a menace, but because Israel is a free country. And in that respect, it's a rebuke to Islamic totalitarianism. Israel is basically secular and it's successful. And what Islamic totalitarianism teaches is that to be successful, you need to be pious. And so in that respect, Israel, like America, is a fundamental rebuke to the Iranian regime. It's not that Israel has any designs on Iran or territory. It's that Iran views it as an enemy. And that is why for the better part of two decades, Iran has been vowing, promising to erase Israel off the map, to wipe it out. It views it as a cancer in the region. None of that is new. And it all fundamentally flows from Iran's ideas-driven regime. Iran is trying to implement a totalitarian system within its own borders and it dominating its people, violating their rights. And it does that beyond its borders, as I've been suggesting. That is why Iran was in Syria. It was exerting its ambitions to establish its power in that power vacuum that is now Syria, and to exert its ability to attack Israel from Syria. So for people who may not know the history, Syria was at war with Israel numerous times in the past, and its borders are such that make it a good place to position military hardware if your goal is to attack Israel. So that's some of the backstory to why Israel went after Iranian targets in Syria, because I think they viewed them rightly as a threat to Israel. And that's been true for a number of years as Iran has been pushing its reach across the region. So that's the initial context for what's happening today in the news with Iran's firing of drones and apparently also long-range missiles at Israel. It's too soon to say how it's going to unfold. We'll keep track of this and we'll respond more as the news develops in the days come. Another important point that I think is crucial for understanding what's happening right now in the news is that no part of this can be understood. Iran's actions, Israel's actions, even the Gaza attack that Hamas perpetrated on October 7th, none of that can be understood absent the wider context of America's role in the region. This is something I've written at length about in the two books that I mentioned earlier. We've done numerous podcasts about that on this channel. And our co-founder, Leonard Peikoff, wrote about this in 2001, in the shadow, literally in the week or two after 9/11, the attacks by Al-Qaeda on New York and Washington, D.C. And I bring this up because that essay, End States Who Sponsor Terrorism, you can find it on our website. We'll share more resources about that. That essay, I think, was prescient and fundamentally, it was incredibly insightful about what to understand about the Islamist threat. So many people were surprised that that essay, after Al-Qaeda, led by Osama bin Laden, had carried out this catastrophic attack on the U.S., many people would have seen that and said, well, why is this essay focusing on Iran as the primary threat, which was the main thrust of Dr. Peikoff's essay at the time? And to understand that is to understand that, as he argued at the time, and I think is still true, American appeasement, American incoherent policy, America's failure to understand its own interests and pursue them, that has led to greater and greater aggression from the Middle East, and particularly from the Islamist movement. And more specifically, if you zoom in to understand Iran's role, you cannot understand Al-Qaeda without understanding America's failed response to Iran since 1979 and onward. That was the thrust of Dr. Peikoff's essay in 2001. I'm sad to say that his words have continued to be as true and as relevant since then in the decades that followed, in the sense that America's policy has not improved. In fact, it's gotten worse. It's less coherent even than it was before. It's more appeasing. And I would characterize the essential failure since 2001 as the failure to recognize the moral difference between free societies and dictatorships, tyrannies of various kinds, and theocratic regimes like Iran. That is a night and day moral difference. We ignore it, as our policy, American policy, does and has ignored it for as long as I've been tracking this field, which is about two decades. The consequence of that is that we support passively and actively, we appease and encourage those who are our enemies, such as Iran. And we sell out the better people, the better countries. We sell out Israel. We sell out the better people in Iran who want a freer society. We sell out the people who want true freedom in the countries where there were mass protests about a decade ago in the so-called Arab Spring. All those people have been betrayed by America's unprincipled policy. And the aspect that I'm emphasizing, I think it's crucial to understand, is that it's unprincipled in numerous ways, but the one that should be clearer, the one that most people can get behind, is that our policy should be distinguishing between free societies and tyrannies. And that is precisely what we don't do. We don't do that with Iran. We don't do that with Saudi Arabia. We don't do that with other regimes, fundamentally, and then to act on it. So that is a significant failure. I bring this up because to understand what's unfolding in Gaza, to understand what's unfolding now between Iran and Israel, one has to put it in that context where American policy, instead of giving stalwart, principled support to the better people who want freedom in Iran, who want freedom in other parts of the Middle East, and the better people in Israel who want to be free and who don't want to live under the aggression of their neighbors, instead of supporting them, giving them moral support, the U.S. has undercut them at every turn and appeased and empowered and encouraged those who are our enemies, principally Iran, also Saudi Arabia. You could add Pakistan into the mix. There are numerous others. That is the story that is necessary for understanding how the Middle East is such a cauldron of conflict and constant and worsening fighting. That, I think, has to be understood. And under this, you can put the Houthis and their aggression. The fact that the Houthis, who are militarily, they're a joke. The fact that they feel empowered to disrupt international cargo ships, that is a symptom of America's failure in the region. My point is not that America is culpable directly for Iran's aggression and for the attacks happening right now in the news. My point is that it has encouraged them, and in that sense, it's culpable. It has appeased Iran for many years. And as for, there is a tendency to have a short-term amnesia or lack of memory. So just before the Gaza war began October 7th, before Hamas's brutal attack on Israel, that Israel is completely right in retaliating against. Prior to that, America's approach to the Middle East was to try to cut a deal with Saudi Arabia to appease Saudi Arabia's vanity and its desire for unearned legitimacy by coming up with a three-directional agreement that Saudi Arabia would give Israel recognition. The fact that that was what America was trying to buy off from Saudi Arabia already tells you who has the moral high ground. It is not the countries that deserve it, such as Israel, but the countries that do not, which is Saudi Arabia and Iran. That was the deal in the offing at the beginning, the fall, prior to the Hamas attack. That should tell you a lot about the way American policy is dysfunctional and unprincipled. And in that respect, I think what we're seeing today is one more consequence of that. And it's tragic. It doesn't need to be this way. So Iran is a fundamental threat both to Israel and to the region generally, and to all the people in the region who don't want to live under Islamic totalitarian rule, who would much rather live in a society that's freer, including in every part of the region where Iran is trying to dominate. And I think that that is the crucial way to cut through what's happening right now. I would argue as well, and I will go further than say, I think, just to express my hopes are that Israel is successful in deflecting these drones and deflecting the missiles that are apparently being fired at it right now from Iran. And it's not clear where this is going to escalate. It might be that we see a front opening up in the north with Hezbollah adding to the conflict. It might be that we see further things coming from Iran. We'll see what happens in the days and hours to come. But I will go further than saying that I want to see Israel deflect these attacks and stay and protect its view. I would argue that Israel is entitled, and we, the United States, should encourage them and military in fighting to eliminate the Iranian regime. That does not mean going after the Iranian people. It means removing the regime that is dominating them, that is violating their rights, and eliminating the threat that it poses to Israel, that it poses to the United States. To me, that is something that is long overdue. And to tie this back to my point about Dr. Peikoff's essay from 2001, that was the remedy that he argued for in 2001. It was not what the Bush administration pursued. It was not what the subsequent administrations pursued. And the failure to do that, I think, has brought us to this day, April 13, where Iran feels that it's just difficult to speak about this. It's so maddening. Iran has reached the point where it feels it can fire rockets at Israel with impunity, because for so many years it has been acting with impunity in the face of powers that it is hostile to who have not responded to it. So that, to me, in other words, there's an opportunity here to solve a fundamental problem in the region by going after the Iranian regime, eliminating it. And to add to the stakes here, we don't know exactly where Iran's nuclear program is. There's speculation about how advanced it is, how much it was stopped by covert operations over the years. But we do know that it has been pursuing a nuclear program. And in the first decade or so when this was news, I was writing about this, and I was furious at people, commentators, politicians who were trying to convince everybody. And today we might call this gaslighting, but I don't like that term. But they were trying to evade the fact that Iran's nuclear program was not for civilian purposes. There's no credible basis for its program being for civilian purposes. The only credible explanation is that it's a militant program, that it's for weapons grade uses. So that was about 15 years ago, and that lie is no longer credible. No serious people are trying to get away with that evasion. And we know that that is the direction Iran, we knew then, and we know even more so now, that that is what Iran is being pursuing. So the reality is you have a almost nuclear power, maybe soon, maybe they already have nuclear weapons. We don't know, but we know that they're been racing towards that destination. And if you think the Middle East is a mess and conflict prone right now, imagine what happens when a totalitarian Islamic regime becomes a nuclear powered regime that has a weapon or more than one weapon. That to me is a really, really scary scenario. It's something I've been arguing against and warning people about. And the reason I think we're at this precipice where Iran may soon become a nuclear power, may soon be able to create that shield for itself to act with even more impunity. Again, it's the consequence of failing to respond to it, failing to recognize its actual nature and what drives it. So that is another reason why it's imperative to eliminate this growing threat before it becomes an even harder threat to eliminate. That, I think, is everything that is worth commenting on right now with this initial response. As I said, we will be back to offer more commentary on this developing story. We have done this since October 7th, and we will continue to do this as time moves on. Thank you all for being here. I see a lot of comments and questions. I'm not going to be able to respond to many of them. And I hope that if you have questions, I'll take a look at them afterwards. We'll be back and I'll try to address some of those there. Once again, thanks for being here. This is the Ayn Rand Institute's channel on YouTube. I'm Ilan Jerno, one of the editors for our journal and podcast, New Ideal. And my work can be found on our website and you can find it in my books, What Justice Demands, America and Israeli-Palestinian Conflict, and Failing to Confront Islamic Totalitarianism, What Went Wrong After 9/11. And I encourage you to explore those works. They are deeply informed by the philosophy of Ayn Rand, the philosophy that is in the background and undergirding the stories of Atlas Shrugged and The Fountainhead, two books that have had a profound impact on my thinking and the philosophy of Ayn Rand that has shaped my thought and my work. I hope you found this useful. Please share and like and comment on this live stream, and we'll be back with more in the days to come. Thank you.
You've been listening to New Ideal, a podcast from the Ayn Rand Institute. If you like what you hear, leave us a review, share with a friend, and subscribe to our other podcasts. This podcast was made possible by donors to the Ayn Rand Institute. Help support this podcast by becoming an ARI member. Go to AynRand.org/membership.